Blog Talk Radio.
Regulators. We regulate any stealing of his property. We're damn good, too. But you can't be any geek off the street. You gotta be handy with the steal, if you know what I mean. Earn your keep.
Regulators! Mount up.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode of the Betting Window on the Nerd Report Network. I am your host, Effin Ronnie, and with me, as always,
the Zombie Master. What's up, bitches?
Oh, Ryan will be joining us shortly, but at the meantime, hello, Christian.
Mm-hmm. Hello, friends.
The Master of Football is here.
He said that for the pros. College, we might have be in a little bit of an argument with that.
He still knows more than my ass does, so he's the master to me. At least about college, anyway.
Better, he knows more than Chris. Let's put it that way.
My hamster knew more than that than him, and he's been dead for 5.5 years.
Oh God.
But yes, ladies and gentlemen, if this is your first time listening to us, welcome. If it is not,
where the fuck you been, asshole?
Yeah, pretty much. But yes, this is the betting window where we go over the good, the bad, and the what the fuck was that? And the wild world of sports and sports betting with an Atlantic City lean. Boy, I would say there's a lot of betting to talk about, but there is, but there isn't.
Well, you had mentioned to me yesterday there was some baseball odds that you had picked up.
Oh, there's some big baseball odds, and I don't know what to think of it.
And there's also an alleged investigation, I think you mentioned, too.
Oh, there's been rumors that this is going around, and if it is, then it's going to be interesting for next year. But getting off the first schneid, the Dodgers have re-signed Clayton Kershaw for a year.
I saw that coming. The man's going to retire a Dodger.
Yeah, definitely. This is probably going to be his last year. I think he's going to retire today.
Yeah.
Yeah, pretty much, because I think between his shoulder and his back, I think it's just getting to be too much. And don't forget, if anybody hasn't seen his motion, he's got a very herky-jerky kind of motion. I got to figure that's got to take toll on that on his body. Even though, he doesn't even throw that hard, but still, it's got to take its toll. Trust me, I would say.
So there was an other news too. There was an arbitration today for a first baseman. Now I say this because there is a guy in New York that this means a lot for.
Who could you ever be speaking about?
So the
Anthony Rizzo? Yeah, I know.
The first baseman I'm talking about that went to arbitration, Mr. Coverman himself, Vladdy.
Vladdy.
Hit arbitration and recorded a $19.9 million in arbitration.
He got 20-something mil in arbitration.
This is also showing where the average first baseman is going to be getting. This is the middle of the road. So meet him in the middle is probably where you're going to get Alonzo, is probably what he's looking to get.
Well, I saw an article today about David Stern says he definitely wants to see him stay a Met. And he's going to try to sign him,
but again, it's good old Scott Boras wanting $30 million. You're out of your fucking mind. Vlad, who is an MVP candidate every year, only getting $20 million for arbitration.
Less than 20 mil.
Yeah. Pete, you're not getting 30. Well, I'm not saying that's a bad thing. I'm saying, but that's...
The only thing, like I said, we've said it ad nauseum on this channel about Pete and stuff like that. He's a franchise player. He would be given, if baseball had that franchise player like the NFL does, he would still be the franchise player of this team.
He'd be getting tagged every fucking year.
Oh, exactly, without question. But then again, it's not like he doesn't perform.
Right. But then to stack on top of that, Christian, I want to just wrap this up and then get your opinion on all three. Altuve signs a 5-year, $125 million extension, which pretty much locks down Altuve is going to be a Stro for life.
Yeah. Well, fuck him, first and foremost.
Let's talk about all three. Vladdy getting less than $20 million, Altuve with his deal, and then Pete going into next year trying to look for somewhere in like $28 million a year.
And one other name you didn't mention, Bobby Witt Jr. got an extension too.
I would get the Bobby Witt. That's not big news, not yet anyway, because the Royals.
He's going to get a pretty healthy pay.
I'll get to the Royals. I'll get to the Royals when we get to the odds.
Oh, okay.
But Christian, go ahead.
Yeah, I'm kind of shocked that Vladdy wasn't extended. You know, this is almost like a franchise tag of some sorts, you know, which I think is just a bunch of bullshit, because all the franchise tag or, in this instance, arbitration says to me is, you guys can correct me if I'm wrong here, but, you know, all arbitration tells me is, hey, you know, we're going to slap this amount of money in your vicinity. You can't talk to other teams. Like, this is business. You see what I'm saying?
Oh,
like,
totally.
This is business. So with that being said,
is Vladdy still on his rookie contract?
I don't know. That's a good question.
I'll look it up.
I would think he's not, because he's been in the league for I think this is going to be either this year or next year is going to be his free agent year.
But that's what I'm saying. I'm saying this would still be his minor league rookie contract. This last arbitration stint.
Oh, yeah, more than likely, yeah.
So he would be going in, meaning he would be going into free agency next year.
Yeah, more than likely. And I guarantee you, and we've discussed this about the Blue Jays before, the Blue Jays are going to encounter a problem very soon, because you got, like you said, you got Vladdy coming up on his thing, and about a year or two away, Bobish just going to be coming up too.
I could see them getting rid of Bo. Hear me out. Because if you look at franchise player, Vlad is a franchise player. Bo is not.
Yeah, but here's the one difference where.
So we have two more years, by the way. He has arbitration this year, arbitration next year, and then he's an unrestricted free agent in 2026.
But here's the thing when it comes to Vladdy. Vladdy has peaks and valleys when it comes to his season production. I mean, there'll be weeks where he's tearing it, but then they'll have weeks of deadness. Bo has been a consistent player. Bo, I've watched him play a few times. That kid's got way more potential and way more upside than his dad did.
He's only been in the league for less than 4 years, or almost 4.1 years. Like, that's how they have it set here.
But you know what it is? He's been a productive 4 years. He's never had a lull.
That's what I mean. I thought he was in the league a lot longer than 4 years.
No, but it is. But it's like, I have respect for, like I said, I'm a big fan of, I was always a big fan of Dante, the dad, when he was playing. I watched him start when he played in college. No, I'm talking about Dante Sr.
Yeah, I'm saying, you're talking about Bichette.
Yeah, Dante Bichette. Dante Bichette Sr. had a tremendous career, but his majority of his career wasn't good, and was good when it was in Colorado, and we all know that. Then he had a few good years with Boston, then he went to Cincinnati, then he just called it a career because he really wasn't – nobody was knocking his door down. And his older son, Dante Jr., was actually with the Yankees, Christian. I don't know if you knew that.
No, I didn't.
He was a third baseman for the Yankees. He washed out after he didn't make it past Double A, and he washed out.
Interesting.
Well, remember, too, so going back to Vlad real quick, what's interesting about Vlad is the fact that he is a Gold Glover. He won Gold Glove last year, or 2 years ago.
Okay.
2021 is when he had the streak that he was on the run. It was 2022, where he was in the race for the Triple Crown.
Look, I'm not denying Laddie isn't good, because he's good. He's almost, I think he's better than his dad, to be honest with you.
And honestly, he's a big, so I hate saying it this way. Hey, Christian, tell me if I'm wrong. I think he's a bigger draw. You're not going to see Bo. You're going to see Vlad.
I saw the Blue Jays a few years back. This was actually the last baseball game I went to in Chicago before I moved back out here to New York. Everybody had their phones out recording Vlad. And let me say this about Vlad Jr. He's one of the fastest baseball players I've ever seen. Like,
and
I had no idea. For him to be as big.
That's what I was just going to say.
I had no idea he was that fast, because just the way he was able to just move on the base paths and everything, I'm just like, wow. And I was joking around and saying to myself, like, yeah, I could tell he'd have ran from a couple ass whoopings. For real. Like, yeah. Or probably running from his dad throwing, because his dad had a fucking cannon.
What's interesting is the fact that I'm looking at his stats right now. Let's go to 2021, starting from there. When he put up 48 home runs, but what's more impressive is he had 29 doubles and one triple.
Mm-hmm.
2022, 32 home runs and 35 doubles. And then 2023, 26 homers and 30 doubles. And he's averaging a 279 average in the last 5 years. I mean, for 5 years, that's insane. That's impressive. And you got to remember, one of them is the COVID year. I mean, the fact that this dude in 5 years has five triples for a guy that big.
Yeah.
Fucking Brandon Nimmo or Brett Garner doesn't even have had five triples in his entire fucking career. I could be wrong about that, but you get my point.
Yeah. No, Brett Garner.
Not slander. I'm just saying. I'm just using stats.
I'm just saying, too.
I pulled up Bo's stats.
133 doubles. That's insane for a guy that big.
All right. Where did I just lost it.
That's some Sandoval numbers right there. That's some fucking Panda numbers right there.
Yeah, I mean, look, is he good? Is he good? Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. But Bo, listen, this is some of Bo's thing. You know, I'm just going to do, what do you want to know? Like batting average, home runs, RBIs, hits?
So I did home runs, doubles.
Home run, let's see, in 2019 he had 18 doubles, 11 home runs, 21 RBIs. 2020, obviously, well, I'm not even going to count.
Yeah,
I don't even count 2020. 2021, he had 30 doubles, 29 home runs, 102 RBIs. 2022, he had 43 doubles, 24 home runs, 93 RBIs. And in 2023, he had 30 doubles, 20 home runs, 73 RBIs. So, I'm sorry. Correct me if I'm wrong. Those are not bad stats right there.
I'm not saying that, but that's not the people. So, the difference is you're not going to the stadium to see Bo. I'm not saying he's not a bad player. Stadium to see Bo. You're going to the stadium to see Vlad. That's like anyone that goes to the Yankees. You're not going to see Harrison Bader. You're going to see Aaron Judge.
But let me ask you a question then. Now, like I said, this is totally hypothetical.
You weren't seeing Scott Brosius. You were going to see Derek Jeter.
Duh.
But that's my point. Like,
all right, let's just say in 2 years when Vlad's a free agent, he decides to leave Toronto. Let's say he gets a better offer somewhere else and he goes somewhere else.
Okay.
Who do you think they're going to back? They're going to back him.
They're going to back Bo. They're going to back Bo because of legacy, not because of the numbers.
Christian, those numbers I read off, are those impressive numbers or they're just eh?
No, they're not bad at all.
But, Christian, John, what I'm trying to get at is you're also going to use his legacy as his spring, as the spring. Not many people remember Dante Bichette. A lot of people know Vlad Sr. for, I don't know, balls at my eyes. I'm going to swing at it and hit a home run.
But it's like I said before, Dante's best years were in Colorado. I'm sorry. And look, I take full ownership of that. Look, was he good when he left the Rockies? He was good, but he wasn't Rocky good.
But at the same time, I think that year, was it Larry Walker on the team?
It was. You had do you remember the name, the Blake Street Bombers?
Yes.
That was Ellis Burks, Dante Bichette, Larry Walker, Ellis Burks, and Andres Galarraga.
But
and Bichette.
But here's the thing. Those names before you got to Bichette were a lot of reasons why people went to go see the Rockies.
What, Larry Walker?
And Galarraga.
Todd Helton.
And Helton.
No, this was before. This was Bichette was there the Helton's rookie year, but they didn't stay. He wasn't on the team long. So I think they were on the team for about maybe a cup of coffee.
But then Galarraga.
You see, Galarraga's biggest days were in Montreal, though.
But again, that was more of a draw. Like, I'm not saying that Bichette wasn't good, but he was – I hate using this word because it's insulting of his career, because it's not. It was forgettable.
Now, look, bust my chops when I say, oh, I was always a big fan of his, and I collected all of his cards, and they're like, who? Who? Who are you talking about?
But that's what I'm saying. I'm saying, like, look at the 98 Yankees. And this is a little bit unfair because we're all from the East Coast. We can list off guys that got traded to the fucking Yankees that year.
The 98 Yankees, and Christian, you can back me up on this. The 98 Yankees were a team of freaks.
They were all Hall of Famers.
Well, not just that. It's like that whole season, they put up numbers that I've never seen a team in my lifetime put up, you know, between personally and as collectively as a team, both offensively and defensively.
Best team I've ever seen.
Yeah.
I
don't disagree with you on that at all.
I mean, they had hitting for contact, hitting for power. They were never out of a game. And they wanted to, Jeter said it best in the Captain documentary. We wanted to put you away early so that way we can get it to the pen, because we knew if we got the ball to Mariano,
game was over.
The game was over.
But let me ask you something, and I'll do this as the last example. 98, Cubs and Cardinals. Who was the biggest draw out of those two teams?
Probably the Cubs.
But I'm saying, like, the players.
I would say the Cardinals because of Mark McGwire.
But at the same time with the Cubs, it was Sammy Sosa. You weren't going to the stadium, not even for the home run race. You weren't going to the stadium to go see. I couldn't even list you off a name of that team if I completely spaced my mind. Mark Grace. I don't know. I don't even think Mark Grace was on the 98 Cubs team.
No, he was with. I think he was with the Diamondbacks at that point.
The fact that I even can name Mark Grace should still be impressive. But you didn't buy a ticket to see any of them. You bought a ticket to see Sammy Sosa. You bought a ticket to buy for Mark McGwire, just like the Giants. You didn't buy a ticket to go see Tim Lincecum. You went to go see Barry Bonds. You get my point? Like,
mm-hmm.
Vlad's that draw. Not saying there's not better players on the team. Like the Mets, people are going to buy tickets to go see Alonso.
No, you're right.
But they're not going to go buy tickets to see Harrison Bader.
Well, you got to figure, as much as Alonso is a draw, then you got to figure you got Lindor. You know, I mean, people are going to be there to see.
Well, there are
Diaz.
Multiple stars. There are multiple stars in the Mets, but that's not what I'm getting at. I'm saying, like, there's one draw. There's one money guy on every team. Astros have Altuve. Goddamn Dodgers have three of them. Phillies have the Dodgers. The Angels even have one. They have Trout. Philly has Harper. Fucking Mariners got J-Rod. The Tampa Bay Rays had one. Actually, they still do. Rosarena.
Yeah, and the other one is sitting in jail.
Nope. Charges were actually dropped against them, but they're still
his career, no.
His career's over. His career's over, but I'm saying his federal charges on him. Because I think because there was lack of evidence. I could be wrong.
But even
the Kansas City Royals, Bobby Witt Jr.
Ain't nobody going to see him.
They are.
Christian, he just signed an 11-year contract extension.
There ain't nobody care.
No, you know what? I've seen Witt play, and the kid is definitely, because he's still obviously still got a couple more years to really develop, but the kid's good. I've watched him play. The kid's very, very
winning, good. If they're not winning,
well,
he's going to win out.
Well, you know what it is? And here's the thing. Kansas City is a small market team. We've all discussed this.
Christian, what if I told you that I think they might win the Central this year?
You out your fucking mind.
Now, Christian, I looked into it. He's not wrong because you got to look at that division.
Who's winning that division? The Twins? Who the fuck's on the Twins?
Other than Byron Buxton, who do the Twins have?
Carlos Correa.
Like I said,
Byron Buxton, who they got left. Carlos Correa, I'm sorry. The Mets really did dodge a bullet not signing him to that long-term deal because he had nothing but ankle issues.
Hold on. You said Correa? My emotions. My emotions. hold on. The Twins do
change. Hi, welcome to Chili's.
He's going to hang up on your ass.
Oh, you slap.
The team that I would be worried about in the Central, in all honesty, other than the Royals, is Detroit.
And even Detroit's got no mega name. They're all kids, but they're some of the kids that they got coming up, they're going to be scary.
Hey, Christian, I'll give you some good news, though.
Hmm.
The first pitch of the game and the Chicago White Sox have been eliminated.
I mean, Stevie Wonder could have seen that.
Yeah, they're 33-1 to win the division.
This just in, breaking news. The White Sox have been eliminated from playoff contention.
Couldn't happen to a more deserving group.
Wait, what was the line that I said 2 weeks ago? No shit!
But no, it's like, but it's like I said, you know, the Royals made a few moves in the offseason. They solidified, you know, they're going to keep Witt around for the next 11 years. You know, they signed Seth Lugo, who's going to be, although he might not be that sexy name, but he's a good spot starter and a middle relief guy that they could use.
And I hate to say it, but someone like Chapman might be a good mentor.
Yeah.
He's not going to be a guy that goes in every fucking week. He's the shell of himself.
Do I think the Royals have a chance? Everybody's got a chance. There's only a few teams in MLB, like the Oakland A's, that don't have a snowball's chance in hell of making any
kind of... Well, they have a snowball's chance in hell of not being the Vegas A's, apparently, because even the Las Vegas mayor told Oakland they might want to stay in Oakland.
Well, that's something we'd have to ask Raider Dave if Raider Dave was here later.
But, like... So speaking of the odds, I mean, even Vegas is starting to get on board with this because Vegas apparently put money on the Royals to win the Central at 11-1. This was about 2 weeks ago, or no, about a month ago. The Royals are now 9.5-1 to win the Central. So clearly what they're doing is catching the eye of somebody. I still want to know how the Yankees are the favorite to win the East. Christian?
Mm-hmm.
Can you tell me how the Yankees are the first or in the lead or the favorites to win the East?
Juan Soto. That's what I was just going to say, Juan Soto.
Christian, you're going to answer your question with another question that you've asked me before. With what rotation?
Look, I mean, you know, well,
I'm not wrong. I'm just saying.
No, you're not. But a certain somebody on this panel always likes to say that Gerrit Cole isn't an ace, but he just won AL Cy Young.
That doesn't mean he's an ace. That means he's a one.
No, that means he's an ace.
And I think Baltimore. The two teams that I have winning the East, and we'll get into this more when we get into baseball, Toronto and Baltimore.
Baltimore is fucking freaky scary, man.
Yeah, that's the only team I'm afraid of.
There's a kid down in the minor leagues, Jackson Holliday.
That's the only team I'm afraid of. Other than that, you know, fuck a Red Sox. The Blue Jays ain't doing nothing, and...
We need to get a Red Sox on here.
No, we don't.
We don't need. We don't need Dustin here.
But the other thing is too. So here's the interesting thing, and I'll bring this up to Ryan because I've talked to Ryan about this. The NL Central. About a month ago, St. Louis Cardinals 9-1 to win the Central. They are now favorites.
Which baffles me because who did the other than getting Sonny Gray, who the hell did they get?
Because right now, Milwaukee was favored. Now they're 11-1 after trading Corbin Burns. To
Baltimore.
Oh, God.
Yeah, that's terrifying. That just closes that fucking rotation up. Holy shit. The Cubs are tied with St. Louis. I don't know what the Cubs got rid of more than they got.
The Cubs really don't have – the Cubs have – I mean, they lost the guy that went to the Yankees, whom I –
Strokeman.
I'm sorry, Christian. I can't show that man any respect. He's a piece of garbage in my eyes.
Be respectful.
I call him a piece of garbage. I could have called him a lot worse.
He got what he wanted. He wanted to be a Yankee. That's even what he said when he got traded to the Mets.
All I got to say about Strokeman.
Strokeman.
The first game he comes out and stinks up the joint and he gets booed. He is not gonna like getting booed in the Bronx. He thought getting booed in Queens was bad. This is not directed towards you. I know some Yankee fans that are absolutely psychotic Yankee fans, and I know ones that are knowledgeable and intelligent like you. They're going to crucify him if he fucks up.
Mm-hmm.
Because of all his talk.
It's okay. Blake Snell on the way.
You know what? I am so sick and tired of the Blake Snell talk. Either sign with somebody or shut the fuck up and sit down and sit the season out. You're not getting 12 years, you're not getting 9 years, $300 million. You are so not that player.
No, he's not.
And the fact that that man has sat there with a straight face and say, yeah, I'm worth 9 years, $290 million. I'm worth almost Gerrit Cole money. Yeah, in what world?
Mm-hmm.
No, I'll even say you're not worth Gerrit Cole money. Go sit down, you fucking piece of shit. Oh, how was that COVID season when you wanted all that money in front? Fuck you.
Yeah, that's a reason why San Diego didn't want to resign you. There's a reason Tampa Bay traded you.
So, it's funny. So, the team that I actually have winning the Central, and I'll dive a little more into it, I picked up at 5-1. They're 3.5-1, and that would be the Cincinnati Reds.
The Reds are a frightening team, too, because of that was a day out.
De La Cruz, baby.
De La Cruz. That kid.
Is lightning.
He's lightning, and he's frightening.
Dude, the fact that he can run a 10-flat.
But, Ronnie, here's the thing, too, that you're not taking into account, and none of us ever take this into account. The fact of they could take a kid like that and build around him by drafting well, or making trading an aging player for a bunch of minor leaguers that are a year away, and you could build a dynasty. Look at the – I mean, perfect example is the Yankees dynasty in the 90s. Jeter, Posada, Williams.
The Reds next to Altuve have the one of the best second basemen in the game.
Altuve's too worried about getting a microphone knocked off his chest.
Jonathan India is one of the better second basemen in the game.
And you know what? I've always had a hate relationship with the Reds because of that, because the Mets were going to fucking take India in the draft, and then the Reds took him right before the Mets, because the Mets had the seventh, the Mets had the seventh pick, the Reds had the sixth pick. With the sixth pick, they took India when the Mets were going to take him. He could have been a Met.
But there is a team around this. Plus, I mean, shit, are we forgetting that Hunter Green is still on this team as a pitcher?
I always knew Hunter Green was good. Hunter Green's a good pitcher, too. He has his moments, but he's good.
He's somebody that is going – so is it? It's weird because I don't know what the hell's going on with Pittsburgh, because they still have the same team as last year, and they're dead last to win the Central.
The only thing – you know what it is? A lot of chatter that I've been hearing about the Pirates, they're worried about O'Neill Cruz's ankle. Because apparently there was more damage to it than earlier indicated, that this might keep him out. This might even delay him the start of this season.
Yeah, it makes no sense because it seemed like it was a simple broken ankle.
It's not no. When it comes to your ankle and your knee, it's never as simple.
But I'm saying though, it was clear cut. What they told us was it was a broken ankle. Clearly, they were lying.
Because they didn't want to. Because they don't want to kill their fan base with going, yeah, our prized shortstop. Was he shortstop or second base?
Yeah, short.
Our prized shortstop for the future might be not done, but extremely limited. The fan base don't want to hear that. That's like the Mets hearing, oh, Pete Alonso might only play in 15 games next year.
Well, is it bad to think that he's going to start in Triple A?
I wouldn't be surprised if they put him in down in Double A to bring him up slow, to really develop. Because, I mean, O'Neill Cruz was just like your guy in Cincinnati. Fast as all hell and all fucking leg.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. It was such a weird break. And it's like, oh my God, like, that's the thing. Like, the kid, like, you know what? If you keep him out and you can make sure he comes back healthier, so be it. Because there's more money in him being, what's it called? There's more money in him when he's healthy than there is, like, 50%.
Well, it's the same thing, like, the Mets were talking about. A lot of fans want to see Jet Williams come up this year. Is the kid fantastic to watch? Yeah. Is he a balls-to-the-wall kind of player? Yeah, but don't rush the kid. If we're dead in the water by August, which more than likely we will be, then we might see him.
Oh, my God. Why did the Nationals sign him?
Who?
Hey, Christian.
Mm.
You might get to see the worst right fielder in the game play for Washington this year. Joey, I only hit Dingers Gallo.
Oh, God.
The Nationals signed Gallo?
Yeah. Five, 1 year, $5
million. That's $4,999,099.
Yeah.
Yeah. Gallo was just, I swear to God. When the Yankees traded for him, I thought, oh, they're getting a bopper, and then they got a booper.
The Rangers signed David Robinson to a 1 year, $11 million deal.
And you know what? And I've been Met bashing, and I'm a Met fan. The last two moves they just made for the bullpen, I'm not upset about. Jake Diekman and Fujinami. Those are not bad pickups for what they got.
How the fuck did the Astros last land Josh Hader?
Well, maybe they said, well, we'll record you doing anything you want. I don't know.
What, did they ask someone to piss, to film themselves taking a piss?
No, that's only in wrestling. Oh, you weren't here, Christian, for that talk, that topic, but.
There's more to that, and I don't want to. Yeah, no.
I'll just say this. I'll just say this.
I don't want to hear it. So.
I'll just say this. Vince McMahon, enough said.
God.
And if you've been on the internet, then I'm sure you've heard. But but no, when it comes to, you know, Hayter going to Houston, Hayter lost a step when he went to San Diego.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is. When he was with Milwaukee, he was lights out because he was a small fish in a little pond. Now he went to the Padres, who were like, oh, we're going to make all these trades, all these signings. You know, we're going to be the next great dynasty, and they flopped quicker than lightning.
So, all right. So the Cubs made a pickup. I just saw this, and I need a question from Christian because I've never heard this guy. Maybe John, maybe you know. Third baseman Michael Busch.
Mm-hmm.
No, I've heard the name, but I'm not
any good.
I don't know a lot about him,
but I've heard the name.
Because the Cubs picked him up in a 4-man trade on January 11th with the Dodgers for prospects.
He's probably a AAA startup, and you see, the Dodgers have too much of a logjam in the major leagues. So top stars at Triple H, they just need to do he's not going to get any playing time.
Could be legal, too.
Oh, yeah, could be. That could be another reason.
So, Christian, we've been teasing this too much. So, with the Dodgers, going back to the Dodgers, because they backlogged Shohei Ohtani's contract, they also backlogged the luxury tax, which now MLB is kind of quietly, looks like they're quietly investigating to see if what they did is quote-unquote legal.
Right.
Because when, like, Bobby Bonilla did it, there was no luxury cap. So there was no luxury tax in there. So it didn't matter how much you spent.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Now there's a soft luxury tax. And is that something they didn't do that? Because if you look at it, by the time they have to pay Shohei all of his contract, Mookie Betts is going to be off the table.
Freddie Freeman.
Freeman's going to be off the books. Like, a lot of they're going to bring up guys from the minor leagues to round out that roster that they in. I mean, they're not going to be in the luxury tax when they have to pay Shohei.
Right. I don't know. I honestly think – I just want to see how this all pans out with the Dodgers because, you know, there's been a talk of the offseason. Got Ohtani. Got
Yamamoto.
You know, it's championship or bust.
And by the way, John, to answer your question from the beginning,
right?
Ohtani will be starting day one at third DH, batting third.
I think that is the world's stupidest thing that he could ever do. But Christian, and correct me if I'm wrong, and tell me if I'm wrong, and Ronnie, you can chime in on this too. So he has Tommy John surgery in the offseason, right? He's not going to pitch this year, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
You've got all this money to $1 billion invested in him. I'm going to let him – I'll let him come out, tip his cap, you know, maybe dangle a first pitch or something as, you know, ceremonial or something. But I'm not putting his ass on the field until I know he's 100% ready to go. Because if there's one thing I know about elbow trouble from other players that I've watched in the years, he tries to swing for a fence too early, he could tear that tendon like a piece of tape. And then what? Then where will the Dodgers be? I say, so if I were him, I'd say I'm not playing until I'm ready to play. But I think the Dodgers are forcing him to play so they can put butts in the seats. That's the only reason. That's what I think. And give me your thoughts on what I said, Christian.
You said everything correctly. Again, it's championship or bust for them.
Yeah,
seriously.
They're favorites to win. Obviously, they're going to be favorites to win the West. How many times have we seen the Dodgers? Oh, they got Mookie Betts. They got this. They got that. And then someone like the Giants come in and fucking beat them. I ain't touching the Dodgers, period, because as much as I think they could win the division, I think they could get to the fucking wild card, too. I could see someone else swooping in and having a ridiculous year.
Yeah.
But I just think the fact that they're rushing him out there. And like I said, I don't think this is from Ohtani. I think this is from the Dodger ownership. They're like, we spent all this money on him. His ass is going on that field.
Did they, though? Because as much as they spent that money, they're not paying them that money until...
But still, that money is 10
years down the road.
But it's still guaranteed money for him.
Okay, he's still...
He's still going to make this money. No, all three of us will be dead by the time Ohtani's done being paid. You know, and it's just, and it's at the point now where, is Ohtani a draw? Yes. Is he a name? Yes. Is he a star? Yes. Is he going to be a Hall of Famer? More than likely. But I still think they're rushing him out too soon. He had the surgery less than a year ago.
Oh, I think we both agree with you that way too soon to bring him out.
But, like I said, it's like I said before, the Dodger ownership is like, look, we got too much money invested in him. We're not going to sell any jerseys if he's sitting on the bench. We're not going to be able to sell our $25 beers if he's not pitching or if he's not hitting, you know, and shit like that.
They're still going to make money. I mean, shit, they still have Mookie Betts and they still have Freeman. They still have all, like, the players that they already had.
And
but they're not going to get that. But they're not going to get that international money like they would if they had.
Oh yeah, they're going to get it. They're going to get it with that $325 million unproven Yamamoto. That's where they're going to get it from, because that kid's going to have to come out firing bullets too. Because if he fucks up too, guess what? They're going to be like, we invested how much money in him?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I'm not trying to be Mr. Negative. I'm just trying to be realistic with this.
No, you're absolutely right, though.
Look, would I have liked him to be a Met? Obviously, I'm not going to say no. But right now, for him being where he is, under the shadow of Ohtani, he's going to have a lot of living up to that contract to live up to. He's going to have a lot. Because if Ohtani doesn't perform, all that pressure is going to be on him. And since he's never played in the major leagues before, I don't know if he'll be able to take it. Now, I'm saying I don't know enough about him personally, but we'll see what happens.
Yeah.
Time will tell. But
other than that, that's really it with baseball. There's not a lot of other news. Basketball is, honest to God, no one gives a shit. The Pistons suck. The Spurs at least have a fucking freak on their team that is a draw. And does anyone really give a shit about the fucking Lakers?
The who?
Exactly.
Exactly.
They care more about the cheerleaders or the use of the used to be cheerleaders, Carmella and
Abdul.
Yeah, like they care more about them than they do. Hell. Jesus Christ, she's still fucking, Candace Parker's still playing? Holy shit.
Really?
Yeah, she just signed another deal with the Eighth.
Damn, I thought she retired.
So did I!
Wow.
I care more about college women's basketball than I do about the NBA.
Hmm.
Actually, that's the first, one of the first times we talk about the WNBA, too. We care about more about the WNBA than we do the actual. All right, so I got to talk about it because we've always been talking about this. Caitlin Clark is the second overall point scorer in NCAA women's basketball history. And she's gonna break the record. Let's just face it. She's gonna break the frickin' record. I think she only needs like 80 more points in 10 more games.
Mm-hmm.
That's 10. And by the way, that's 10 regular season games. She still has the tournament too, because they count that.
Yeah, she's definitely must-see TV.
When was the last time, and John, maybe you can answer me this, because I know me and Christian will probably have the same answer. Besides her, when was the last time you saw any women's college basketball on Fox primetime?
You haven't.
I didn't even know there was anything on there. I never knew. I never fucking watched it, dude. I never watched it. I don't watch the men. I ain't going to watch the ladies. No disrespect to the ladies, but I ain't going to watch it anyway. I'm not a big basketball fan. I've never really been a bad big basketball
she
guy.
She is, like I said, she's flat out insane. Like, she is one of the best she's one of the best pure shooters in the game, men or women. Christian can throw me under the bus if he thinks I'm out of line with that, but that's my opinion.
Nope, you're spot on, man.
Yeah, you're dead on with that. It's like I knew of a couple of WNBA players. There was, I think, some they played for the Liberty or something, that there were some semi big names or something.
I mean, we just named one. Candace Parker's like.
No, there was one that was really big in New York.
I mean, Cheryl Swoops.
Maybe that's the one I'm thinking about.
I'm trying to think who's the chick from UConn that went to the WNBA.
Oh, who, Breonna Stewart?
No, the other one. But yes, Breonna Stewart's another one. I forget her name.
You're not talking to Mescu, are you?
Yes, I am. There, thank you.
She didn't go to UConn. She went to Oregon.
Oregon, okay.
Yeah,
so,
she had a really good relationship with Kobe Bryant.
Yeah. So, here's her points right now. She is at 3,462. The lead, the Casey Plum record is 3,527. She's less than, 60 points away. About 60 points away, I think. My math is correct. 3.
Mm-hmm.
2. She's 65 points away, and she has 6 games in the regular season to get it. That's nuts to me. To think that this woman is averaging 40 fucking points a game.
Yeah, that's insane.
And then, like I said, the regular season ends But they still count the tournament games.
Yeah.
So they're still going to count the Big Ten tournament. And they're still going to count the NCAA tournament. How far out of reach is she going to put this?
Only time will tell.
Right. Like, she's going to break it during the regular season. We kind of figured that. She's probably going to break it when she's – she might break it when she's home against Michigan. If not, it's going to be at Indiana, I think.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it's insane. It literally is, like, because people were saying, oh, we haven't seen someone this dominant since Brittany Griner. No, Brittany was a freak of nature because she was tall.
Brian Griner.
Yeah, exactly. Look like Joanna with dreads.
Oh, Jesus God. Christ. Don't, no. Please don't.
What, did I just give you that image?
I just ate. I don't want to see my dinner in reverse.
You're welcome. it's the fact that, like, the media, who came out the other day? So Gilbert Arenas has a podcast, and he had someone from the WNBA on there, I forget her name, but saying that she's not crediting Caitlin Clark for beating the record because she didn't do it in 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
Which, by the way, yeah, she's right. She actually did it less because she never took the COVID season.
Right.
If she wanted to take the COVID season, that would be next year.
Mm-hmm.
She actually did it less because they didn't do the NCAA tournament games or the Big Ten title games. So she's actually doing this in less games. So people let that sink in, right? Like, no one's talking about that. And she, let's say, she, okay, what? Four, maybe seven more games that she could have had points added to this? I mean, like you said, Christian, she is must-see TV.
She is.
And she's really the reason, one of the reasons that Big Ten, you know, like your arena's semi-sold out during women's college basketball, it's because of her.
Yeah, I actually just had a friend the other day. He lives in Maryland. He was at the Maryland game, and they were playing Iowa.
Right.
And it was packed.
They sold out. They almost sold out Kinnick Stadium for a goddamn exhibition game.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, granted, also Nebraska sold out their football field for a fucking volleyball game. Like, it's funny to see that. Like, when you know other teams have bigger stats, and it's like, is it bad that after all the stuff that's been going on with Angel Reese, that she's kind of left in the dust now and Clark has taken so much more of a step in front of her?
Oh, no, it's not bad. I mean, people are selling out. People are paying top-notch money to go see Caitlin Clark play. Ain't nobody going to see Angel Reese play.
That's what I mean. I'm saying after that whole, the gestures, the ring. Sorry, mm-hmm. I get it was competitive, but kind of making an ass out of both of them.
Mm-hmm.
Caitlin Clark pushed ahead, and yet LSU has done what in women's college basketball? We don't ever talk about LSU. We always seem to talk about Iowa.
Right. Or overrated-ass UConn.
Right. Like, by the way, congratulations to Gio for 1,200. He's the third D1, what's it called, coach to break, I think it was 1,200 career victories.
God, I don't like him.
No, neither do I, but that's still impressive.
Yeah, it is.
Because what, that's him, the woman from Stanford, and...
Coach K.
Oh, yeah, Stanford. Yeah, and Coach K. That's it.
Yeah.
That's insane. Like, just how long you have to be good. And how long you have to be good while coaching different teams. Because let's face it, Gio was doing it with a lot of 3-year players, not 4-year. Coach K, at the end of his career, was doing it with a lot of one and dones.
Right.
And Tara Vanderveer was doing it with a bunch of no names. I mean, how many big names came out of Stanford for women's basketball?
Yeah, you don't really hear about them.
No, but yet she's the top women. She 1,206 wins. She's right now the all-time winningest coach. And, I mean, the question is does Gio last longer than her to pass her, or does she, like, now it's an arms race, right?
Right, exactly. No, I get exactly what you're saying.
So impressive. I mean, it's freaking nuts. Mm-hmm. But other than that, I mean, there's not a lot of, like you said, there's not a lot of news. Except for one thing. And Ryan should be joining us shortly, so we can start talking about it. Now, it is the last game of the NFL season. But first, we have to talk about the Hall of Fame. So there have been rumors going around on who is officially in.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to be happy to say that one of the rumors is the greatest kick returner of all time.
Who's that?
Devin Hester.
Yep.
Yeah, I have a feel. I think it's going to be Devin Hester. Andre Johnson needs to be in. Andre Johnson, at his peak, was probably the most dominant non-quarterback in the league. Like, Andre Johnson was cut from the Terrell Owens cloth, Ronnie.
Mm-hmm.
Big guy, could go over the top, could go underneath, and just anytime the ball hit him in the hands, he found a way to make a play on it. Physical was a nightmare for any defensive back attempting to guard him.
We'll find out tomorrow too, by the way, because that's what the
look, Hester's gonna get in. Julius Peppers is getting in.
Yep, Sir Torrey Holt.
I can see it. And Antonio Gates is getting in.
Yeah. I hate saying this motherfucker ain't getting in because he was a terror in defense. Dwight Freeney.
Nah, he's not getting in. Anymore.
He's not getting in, but I'm just saying it's a shame that he's going to be left off. See, there's another wide receiver that I hope gets in.
Who?
That is Reggie.
Who? Reggie Wayne?
Yeah.
He'll probably get in next year. I don't think he gets in this year. I'll be surprised if he's a part of the class this year. But
So I'll run through the list right now of the finalists that we'll find out tomorrow, Thursday, at the NFL Honors. I'll run through it quick. Eric Allen, Jared Allen, Willie Anderson, Jai Evans, Dwight Freeney, Antonio Gates, Rodney Harrison, Devin Hester, Torrey Holt, Andre Johnson, Julius Peppers, Fred Taylor, Reggie Wayne, Patrick Willis, and Darren Woodson.
You mean
Darren Woodson, sorry.
You know, I'll make a case for one guy. Rodney Harrison.
Yeah, I agree with that, yeah.
Antoine Winfield Jr. is the closest thing I've seen to Rodney Harrison. The range he plays with, he's just always around the ball. But, you know, Rodney, unfortunately, had that label as being a dirty player. But, nah, like, Rodney was an underdog and found a way to really make it work in New England. I mean, he doesn't have championships if it's not for Bill Belichick. And that just goes to kind of show you just how great Belichick was, because he truly made the underdog. He truly felt some type of way about the underdog. You see what I'm saying? I'm talking the Julian Edelmans, Tom Brady, Gronk. And look at what those guys went on to become, right? I often put Rodney Harrison in that category, because they needed an enforcer on defense and for those New England teams, and he was that.
Right.
Jari Evans, yeah, he'll get in eventually, but if there is going to be an offensive lineman that gets in this year, it's got to be Willie Anderson. I mean, I just still think about what Strahan said. Strahan said Willie Anderson was probably the toughest offensive lineman he had to go against. I mean, look, if there's anything for two locks to go in, it's Julius Peppers. I mean, look, Julius Peppers is one of the best defensive players I've seen. I mean, he was just such a menace off that edge, and he had the length, along with those long strides, to get home to the quarterback. And everybody that's ranked, I think, in the I'm going to look it up because I'm curious, but everybody that's ranked in the top 10 of the sacks list, I think they're all in. All-time sacks list. All-time sacks leaders. All right, Ronnie, you ready?
Yeah.
So I'm just going to go with the top 10, okay?
Okay.
Bruce Smith.
Okay.
200 sacks. I don't think anybody's coming close to that.
No, but it's...
Well, yeah. The closest was Reggie White.
Yeah.
How many did Lawrence Taylor have career?
142.
I thought he had more than that.
Yeah, I did too. Hold on. Let me make sure this list is... accurate. Because,
yeah, I was going to say, that sounds like a lot less for somebody like a Lawrence Taylor.
Alright, I think this list is more accurate. Hold on. Fuck. Okay. So, Bruce Smith with 200, he's at number one, right?
Of course.
I mean, look, what more could you say about it? I think he's the greatest Buffalo Bill ever.
Yeah.
Reggie White had 198. Reggie White is the best defensive end I've ever seen.
Yeah, that's fair.
I mean, he was country strong. You see what I'm saying?
Oh yeah, like you ain't getting no argument
out of that. Nah. I mean, and you know, Reggie was an inspiration to me when I played, because I didn't wear gloves when I played. He wore gloves, and he didn't either. So that's number two. Number three is the late, great Kevin Green.
Yeah.
Oh, that guy was a beast, too, on the field.
Yeah, he was. He had, let me see, 160 sacks.
He had more sacks than LT did?
Yeah. Okay. Number four is Julius Peppers.
Yeah.
Julius Peppers retired with 159 sacks.
Okay.
Number five, it's Chris Dolman. Was 150. Let me see if he's in the Hall. Yeah. He went in 2012. Yeah, he just died. I just realized that. Number six, Michael Strahan.
Of course.
Of course.
He retired with 141 sacks. And people always tell me he shouldn't be in the Hall of Fame. I'm like, okay, just say you didn't watch football without saying he didn't watch football. Like, Michael Strahan, during his peak, was probably the best defensive player in the league.
I have his rookie card somewhere.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm. I got two of them, actually.
Yeah, I mean, I think the one thing that people tend to forget about him, he was very animated on the field. Like, I often think of all those matchups he used to have against the Eagles and just him running his mouth with John Runyon.
Yeah.
He always used to say, look, the whole world about to see you get your ass worked.
He was trash-talking personified.
Yeah. All right. Number seven. Anybody want to take a guess on who it is?
LT.
No. Jason Taylor.
Yeah, I could see that.
Jason Taylor retired with 139 sacks. Completely dominant. I remember his 2006 season like it happened yesterday. He won Defensive Player of the Year. A lot of people were thinking he shouldn't have because Champ Bailey didn't give up a touchdown that year. And he went in, I think he went in on the first ballot, if I'm not mistaken. Because he went into the Hall of Fame in 2017.
Christian, I'm sorry. What's the cutoff? How many years do you have to be retired to get into the NFL Hall of Fame?
Five.
I know. Oh, is it just like baseball? It's 5 years?
Yeah, which I think they need to cut that in half, make it three, because basketball made it three. It used to be four, and then they cut it to three. But, yeah, it's five. So, like, when Peyton Manning went in, it was just like, wow, you know, this is really happening. You know, when I think you guys will be able to relate to this or get what I'm saying with this. You know when you have these guys that had great careers and you know they're just a shoo-in for the Hall of Fame, and then once they hear their name up for the Hall of Fame, it's almost like surreal because you expected it. You know what I mean? you knew Peyton Manning was getting in.
Yeah.
Is Eli getting in?
I'll say yes, but not on the first ballot.
I could agree with that. I was going to say he's the only one to beat.
Listen, and I would say that at the speech, too. I'm the only man that beat Tom Brady twice in a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Seriously. All right, number eight, Terrell Suggs. No, he was...
I remember that name.
Listen, when he came into the league, Ray Lewis and Ed Reed both took him under their wings. And as Ray got a little bit older, Ray said, look, if we want to continue that trend of stingy and great Baltimore defenses, we're passing the keys to you. And he had the best year of his career in 2011. He won Defensive Player of the Year. It was his first step that really made everything happen. Number nine is probably one of my favorite players of all time, DeMarcus Ware. Now,
oh, yeah.
Listen.
You know what's funny? I just watched an episode of Bar Rescue with him on there.
Who, DeMarcus Ware?
He owns a bar, yeah, and his bar was on Bar Rescue.
That's fun. Nice.
And his family was running it, and they were running it into the toilet, but they eventually saved it. But the only reason I know that name is because I saw it was just on this Sunday.
I was so mad. Ronnie can attest to this. I was pissed off when he didn't get the call to the Hall of Fame in 2022.
Yeah.
Because I honestly feel the Hall of Fame class for 2022 – it was for all the guys who had been waiting forever, like the Tony Baselli's and Richard Seymour's, Bryant Young. Like, that's not really an eye-popping class. You get what I'm saying? No disrespect to him, but it's not a class people are going to talk about. Like, to be real with you guys, you know what the best Hall of Fame class is I've seen for the NFL? 2018. Ray Lewis, Brian Urlacher, Brian Dawkins, Randy Moss, and Terrell Owens. Those are all guys from my generation.
Okay.
Right? 2019 wasn't too bad either. Ed Reed, Ty Law, Champ Bailey, Tony Gonzalez, and your guys' guy, Kevin Mawai.
Okay, yeah.
You know, 2020 was the first centennial class, and the only one I think that should have just been him was Troy Polamalu. You know, and then 2021 was a really good class. That was Peyton Manning, Charles Woodson, Alan Faneca, and Megatron, Calvin Johnson, and Drew Pearson finally got in. So I was really happy about that. But DeMarcus Ware was the best player, defensive player of his generation at his peak. Because there were some offensive linemen that he just made look silly. I mean,
I got a question for you, Christian, when you're done.
Okay.
I have a question about a player, but I'll wait till you're done.
Look, DeMarcus Ware had probably the best first step that I've ever seen, and I told Ronnie this. Ronnie, you remember what I said about DeMarcus Ware?
What, refresh?
He was Khalil Mack before Khalil Mack.
Yes.
I think he was a little bit more athletic than Khalil Mack. But he's at number 9 and number 10. This is the top 10. Number 10 is Richard Dent. Richard Dent and John Randall are both tied.
So Lawrence Taylor's not in the top 10?
Lawrence Taylor's tied for 14th.
I find that so shocking.
Yeah, but look, Lawrence Taylor has a bigger title within him. He's probably the greatest defensive player of all time.
Right.
All right, what's the question, John?
All right, there's a player that he played for my Jets that he was – every time I watched him play, he put his heart and soul on the field. Why he's not in the Hall of Fame, I want to get your take of why he's not in there. And that's Wayne Krabbet. Now, I pulled up his stats. He had 152 games, AV 69, 580 – I think REC is what?
Receiving yards.
Receiving yards is 580, 7,365 yards, 12.7 YR, 41 TDs, and a, what's that last thing? FPT, I guess. I don't know what that is.
What years did he play again?
He played.
You know when he came into the league and when he stopped playing.
Okay, he started, I will tell you, let me get down to a stat. He started in 95 and ended in 2005.
How many touchdowns did he finish with in his entire career?
Touchdowns, career, 41.
Okay, and how many receiving yards?
580.
Yeah, see, to get in as a Hall of Famer from a wide receiver position, you have to be dominant. He was good, but, you know, there were bigger names that were playing the position when he was playing. Like, you know, Randy Moss came into the league, and he's in. And we saw what he panned out.
Terrell
Owens, you know, and he's in. Marvin Harrison, you know, Marvin Harrison really started to hit his stride by 2002. Him and Peyton Manning were dominant together, and Marvin's in. I'm trying to think, who's another one?
And you know, while you're thinking of that, but you know what gets me too is like the reason why Wayne had to give up his career was due to concussions.
Yeah.
Because. I mean, if you pull up any Wayne Krabbet highlight video, if that man wasn't flying in the air at some point doing something.
Ronnie, correct me if I'm wrong here. I think Wayne Krabbet was Wes Welker before Wes Welker.
I agree with that. I will always say that he was the better. Wes Welker was him.
I mean, for God's sakes, Krabbet was only 5'10".
Yeah, and Welker was about the same height, John.
Yeah.
But, nah, in order for, like, a lot of wide receivers to get into the Hall of Fame. Remember what we always say. The Hall of Fame is what? It's a story. And you can't tell the history of a certain particular position without mentioning that name, man. Look, it's nothing against Wayne Corbett, but you can tell the history of the wide receiver position without him. Like, don't get me wrong, I think he was good, but he was never a staple.
He was you know what it was? He was the kind of – I think that's what drew me to him, is that every play, no matter – they could be getting blown out, and he would still give it like it's a playoff game, like it's a Super Bowl. He went out and he gave his body to the sport.
Like, I remember a couple years ago, someone told me Curtis Martin shouldn't be in. I'm like, just say you didn't watch football. Curtis Martin is sixth all time.
Curtis Martin was a fucking was a nightmare.
Yeah, Curtis Martin was all time on the rushing list.
I mean, he was great when he was with the Patriots, but when he became a Jet, he became that much better.
Yeah, you know, and he loved him some Bill Parcells. You know, I don't think Curtis Martin has a gold jacket if it's not for Bill Parcells.
Oh, no.
Yeah,
no.
I agree with that.
I agree with that, too.
So, I just have a feeling. I don't know if you guys heard what Deion Sanders said about the Hall of Fame a couple years ago.
I try not to listen to too much stuff that Deion's got to say because a lot of it's through his ass.
No, but he was right here. He was like, they just let anybody in. The Hall of Fame's not exclusive as it once was. He's not wrong.
Is he in it?
Yeah. He's the greatest corner ever.
Yeah, well, he's in it, so he should keep his mouth shut.
Yeah, but I get what he means, though.
Oh, well, look, I understand to a point what he means, but you're in. Just zip your lip.
Because I'm going to tell you one guy that I don't think deserves to be in.
Who's that?
Ryan, you know where I'm going with this.
Yeah.
Who?
Edgerrin James.
Edge.
He played for the Indianapolis Colts with Manning. And, I mean, look, he was good, but I don't think he was worthy of being a Hall of Famer.
Is Bettis in?
Yeah. I mean, he's like seventh all time on the rushing list.
The bus.
Yeah, he was, man. Nah, Jerome was dominant, and I don't think people realize, like, you know, he opened the door for a lot of, like, those bigger running backs. The guys that didn't look quick, the guys that you got the ball to on third down and short, he was the guy that you got the ball to when you needed those hard-fought yards. And, I mean...
Wasn't he was built more like a halfback than a...
Well, he was a halfback, yeah. He was a running back. He was built like a fullback, if anything.
But, yeah.
Yeah, Jerome deserved to be in. I mean...
Oh, I'm not denying he shouldn't be in. Oh, I'm not saying that, but I just wasn't sure if he was or not.
Yeah, you guys want to look at the rushing leaders of all time?
Yeah, we'll play that.
Yeah, why not? We got time.
Let me look at it. Let me look. Rushing leaders of all time.
I know number one or two's got to be fucking Sweetness.
I think he's number two. Here, I'm getting it up right
now.
Yeah,
one is Emmett.
And okay. I got to figure number two's got to be fucking Sweetness.
All right. So Emmett is number one.
Obviously.
And I hate when people say, oh, Emmett can't be considered an all-time great because.
Look, as much as I dislike the Cowboys, man, there's no discounting what that man did on that field.
No, there's not. But everybody always wants to use that line. He had a great offensive line. Okay, how's that his fault?
Not his fault. It just made him even better.
Right. So Emmett's number one. Walter Payton's number two.
Good.
Frank Gore is number three.
Name does sound familiar.
Kittle be in the NFL soon.
Yeah, Frank Gore is getting in. Barry Sanders is number four. Adrian Peterson is number 5.
Okay.
Yeah, AP.
Yeah, I mean, look, at his peak, he was dominant. Curtis Martin's number 6. LaDainian Tomlinson's number 7. Jerome Bettis is number 8. Eric Dickerson is number 9. And Tony Dorsett is number 10. So,
I'm surprised Dickerson's that low on the list.
So, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. 8 of the 10 guys who are ranked in the all-time rushing list in the top 10 are in the Hall of Fame. Emmitt, Walter, Barry, Curtis Martin, LaDainian Tomlinson, Jerome Bettis, Eric Dickerson, and Tony Dorsett. Edgerrin James is ranked 13th all-time.
Now, I'm just going to throw a name out there. I just remember because my grandparents used to talk about him. Is Dave Meggett in any of the top anything, or he just was a kind of came in and kind of just left type of player? You know what I'm talking about, Dave Meggett, right?
Yeah, he's not in. He finished with only 1,684 yards. He only had 8 touchdowns. So, nah, he's not going to – I don't think he's ever going to get in. He just kind of came in and left.
And what's the guy that played for the Jets that I said they went to the Redskins? What's his name? I can't remember. He was I said his name a couple of weeks ago. Ronnie, help me out.
Lavernius Coles?
No, was it Lavernius?
Santana Moss.
Nah, he's not going to get in. Again, look at the era played in, and there were bigger names that played the position outside of him. I mean, the obvious T.O., Randy Moss. He'll never get in. Marvin Harrison, Reggie Wayne. He'll never get in, but he was one of the best in the league. He just doesn't have the numbers, I feel, that make him worthy of a gold jacket, and that's Chad Ochocinco.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, like, people argue with me all the time about Ocho being in. And, you know, I just say, okay, you know, where's his offensive player of the year? You know what? I'm going to look up Ocho stats. What's up, Ryan?
What's up, Ry?
There he is.
I am, yeah. What up? Oh, you know.
What was that?
So Ocho has 11,015 yards. 11,059 yards and 67 receiving touchdowns. Nah, he's not going to get in. Yeah, he's not going to get in.
What about
talking about
the NFL Hall of Fame?
No, but, I mean, it is what it is, right?
Okay.
Right.
All right. Well, with that being said, it is that time for us to get to the game. Super Bowl, baby! It is the Kansas City Chiefs taking on the San Francisco 49ers.
Brock Purdy versus Patty Mahomes.
What is it? San Francisco is a 2-point favorite. Don't think that's going to be a big difference. That's like, oh my God, really? You're going to give the dogs, you're going to make the dogs the fucking team that hates being the dogs? Smart. Christian, I know you are going to be writing for this game.
Yeah, it's actually going to be a two-parter. So Friday comes the written preview, and then Sunday, an hour before kickoff, I'm going to be revealing a video of my keys to the game. Well, I'll still give some tonight, but my keys to the game, my X factors for each team, and, of course, who I have winning the game. But when I look at the matchup, you know, Kansas City, I've watched Andy Reid for a really long time, right?
Yeah.
And the one thing I can say is this is his most mentally tough football team because it wasn't smooth sailing. They didn't run away with the division like we're accustomed to seeing, right?
Right.
And you're talking about the Chiefs, right?
Yeah.
Right. And, you know, I think a lot of people were concerned about them after they lost on Christmas Day to the Raiders. But it doesn't matter what you do in the regular season. All that matters is how you play when it matters most, which is in January, and they handled their business against Miami, and that was the best I've seen their offense look all year long. They ran the ball. You know, they pounded the rock. They won time of possession, and receivers were finally catching the ball, right? Next week, where do they go? They go to Buffalo. Patrick Mahomes has to play on the road. First playoff game, right? Everybody kept saying he can't win on the road. Because he's never really had to leave Arrowhead unless it's been for a Super Bowl. What's he do?
Wins.
Goes into Baltimore. Has no chance in hell against that stingy Ravens defense, right? And to be honest with you, that performance in Baltimore is the best I've seen Kansas City look all year because they showed you that they can be a physical team that can win a dogfight. Because they went into Baltimore and just simply took it, right?
Right.
Right.
I mean, yeah. Steve Spagnuolo might be the best big game defensive coordinator of our time. And you saw what he did against the Patriots all those years. And just what he did, he neutralized Lamar Jackson. Because, Ronnie, what did I tell you? For Kansas City to win, Lamar is throwing that ball from the pocket until his arm comes out the socket.
Oh, yeah, we both said as long as they can control the pocket, they're golden.
Yeah, and Kansas City kind of beat Baltimore at their own game.
Yeah.
Threw a lot of different looks at him, and it confused him, and he was never really able to adjust. You know, I was thinking about it the other day. You know who this Chiefs team reminds me of?
Who? Or what?
The 2018 Patriots.
Okay.
Remember when that team was struggling, and everybody kept saying they were done?
Yeah.
I remember Tom Brady telling Tracy Wolfson, everyone thinks we suck, so we're just going along with the ride. And look at what happened. It got them another Super Bowl.
Yep.
Look, Mahomes is goated, okay? Mahomes is on the same trajectory that Tom Brady was. Seriously. I mean,
yeah.
4 Super Bowls in 5 years is absolutely remarkable. Mahomes has only played either in an AFC championship game or a Super Bowl. Do you guys realize that?
Yeah.
Since he's come into the league. But what's really stood out to me about Kansas City has been their defense. I mean, Chris Jones makes all the difference. George Karlaftis has been great. Nick Bolton, but the guy that I've been so impressed with is the cornerback, Legarius Sneed. As far as San Fran goes, I didn't like how they looked against Green Bay, but they found a way to win. And what do I always say about playing a physical football team? You got to beat them at their own game. Or in other words, the bully don't like to get bullied. And the 49ers, when you punch them in the mouth and you wear them down, They raised the white flag. Ronnie's heard me say this a lot on Monday Evening Quarterback this year. The biggest threat to the 49ers was themselves because when things aren't going right, a key guy is hurt or, like I said, they're being punched in the mouth. We can play that what-if game all we want about what would have happened if Brock Purdy didn't go down last year in the NFC Championship. I still think they would have won that game.
Yeah.
You know, but however, we saw what San Francisco was able to do in the regular season against Philly. There were only 3 teams in the NFC this year that stood out to me. That was the Eagles, the 49ers, and the Cowboys, with the Lions on the outside looking in. You saw what San Fran did to Dallas. They pretty much broke Philly, and they had to come back on Detroit, on the Lions, because of Dan Campbell and his inability to stop being cute.
If he kicked those two field goals, we're talking about Detroit and Chiefs.
Yeah, we're talking about the regular season ending how it started.
Yep.
San Fran, look, their offense can push the ball up the field. They have the presumptive favorite to win Offensive Player of the Year in Christian McCaffrey. And he's the closest thing I've seen to a name I just mentioned, LaDainian Tomlinson. George Kittle is still good. Brandon Ayuk is great. But the guy that really makes this offense go is Deebo Samuel, because he's the jack of all trades for this offense. Lines up inside, lines up in the slot, takes the ball on handoffs, jet sweeps. But he's great when it comes to blocking and doing those little things that really don't get impacted on the stat sheet. Does those little things that impact the game without the ball in his hands. And we already know what their defense can do. What impresses me about their defense is the ability to rush the passer without blitzing. They don't blitz. I want to see how they defend Kelce. Chase Young's probably going to get benched, which is a damn shame. I preview this on Friday. That's part one. Part two is the video where everybody that I contribute for on the radio, they will be tagged in it, including you guys. So be on the lookout for that.
Very cool.
Sorry for taking your thunder, guys.
No. You're good.
You took no thunder from us, man. You were.
Doesn't really matter. Everything wrapped up because after this game, John, doesn't really matter. Unfortunately, you will be last.
I'm used to being last.
So what jersey are you wearing?
Haven't we already been through this?
No, I'm just making sure we're agreement that it is Brady.
Unfortunately, yeah, because I swear if you try to put that other one on there, I will burn your house down.
Okay. No, I'm just making sure that we agreed that we're agreeing that it is Brady.
No, I will burn your house down. You make me wear an Utley jersey.
But with that being said, all right, John, who are you taking, Chiefs or Niners?
I'm taking the Chiefs, baby, all the way. Patty Mahomes.
Niners.
So, again, I said it. You're giving the dogs to the Chiefs. That's a mistake. Mahomes doesn't need bulletin board material. Let's put it this way. The Chiefs are going to get a ring before Taylor Swift.
You're right.
give me Casey.
Okay, now, so did everybody make their picks already? Okay,
yes.
So is she going to be at the game?
If she can get a flight, yes.
She's going to be in Japan, supposedly.
If she can, well, so according to that, she will be in the air before the game starts. Like, she'll be there by the time the kickoff begins because of the what's it called? Because of the time shift. Because she's coming from Japan.
And they're going to be like, okay, let's stop the game just so Taylor Swift is taking her seat.
No. There's actually betting odds of that, too.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Oh, yeah, let's go with those fun side bets.
Yep, that's exactly why I wanted to get this out of the way so we can get to the fun shit.
How many times will the camera go to her? Is that a bet?
Yeah, actually.
I was being sarcastic when I said that, but I'm not shocked.
So,
four and a half.
So, will they show her?
That's going to be over.
So the question is one of them is, will they show her during the national anthem?
Yes.
Another one is, will they show her during, before halftime?
Yes.
Yes.
And the final one is this, will someone say her name during the ending of the game? So during, like, the MVP speech, will they – so pretty much if the Chiefs win, will they acknowledge Taylor Swift?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, because it's fucking full of state.
Yeah, which also means that probably that means Travis Kelce has won the MVP.
Oh, for sure.
I could say something right now, but I won't.
Hey, you know, that AI-generated Taylor Swift is making its rounds.
Yeah.
I'll put it in the text chat. I'm not going to say it out loud unless Ryan decides to say it out loud.
Wow, wow. Oh God! All right, super. Let's see. I'm trying to find some fun. Here we go.
Do some over unders.
All right, yo. Here we go. For the Swifties, this is literally a thing on DraftKings called For the Swifties because Caesars decided to turn around. I mean, she is. But not...
I don't see what's so taboo about that.
Because she might be 22.
Well, that's what she is. That's the only reason she's on this.
One of them is, will any quarter have 22 or more points? Again, if you're a Taylor Swift fan, 22. Ha, ha, ha. Will there be any score? No, probably not.
No.
Brock Purdy will get 250 passing yards and two touchdowns, two TDs.
I'm going to take the over on that.
Yeah.
Kansas City can be had, and if that San Fran offensive line can neutralize Chris Jones and George Karlaftis, I think they have a shot. The best way to neutralize a good pass rush is to get rid of the ball quickly. So I think they're going to implement the short, quick passing game. Lots of screen passes to Ayuk, creating the best possible mismatch with George Kittle, screen passes to Deebo Samuel, and really pushing that ball up the field. And don't forget Christian McCaffrey either, getting him in a one-on-one with a linebacker advantage. Christian McCaffrey.
This is great. So one of them is because of her song, You Need to Calm Down. Brock Purdy, first half, over 200 passing yards.
I don't know about – yeah, I can see it.
Travis Kelce to score a touchdown, and Casey wins. Those are some of that's literally a Swifty bullshit. Oh God, why?
Well, here's the thing. I look forward to hearing about the breakup song after a while.
Oh God.
Because you know she's going to sing a song about him if they break up.
Yeah.
That's what she's famous for.
I just want to see if San Francisco, what their game plans are going to be to defend Travis Kelce, because what makes him so effective is his ability to kind of be that decoy, and then he's just wide open. You get what I'm saying? Like,
no, I get it.
You think he's looking for something else, and then he just finds a soft spot in the middle of his own. He's getting the ball, and he's either up the field or he's making a play that puts his team in prime position. I mean, he tore apart the Baltimore Ravens. And the Ravens have been pretty good this year. Were pretty good this year when it came to defending pass catchers. But, I mean, he was targeted 11 times. And guess how many passes he caught?
11.
All 11.
So, all right, here you go. Here's a fun one, Christian. Yes or no, will a field goal hit an upright?
Where are they playing, first of all?
Vegas, and the home of Raider Day. Thank you.
Who might be not? You might tell him that they might not be. They might not be getting their baseball team now.
Shut the fuck up. I know.
No.
You think
no.
I don't know what's going on in Vegas sports?
How's your hockey team doing?
Kick the shit out of Edmonton.
Yeah, your Golden Showers.
Yeah. Golden
Gate! Oh God!
you said that way too much with energy on that one.
There's a lot of gusto for the Vegas Golden Knights, sir.
No, I think you were saying Golden Showers. You got a lot of emphasis on that.
Really going to bring my German heritage into this?
The other end there, Dave.
German, you know it, Ronnie.
German's the other end. I got him. You want to talk about German play?
Oh,
God. Yeah, you're talking about your German heritage, but yet you have a house full of IKEA furniture.
Be it, baby! Find my conquest.
Oh, God. So, all right, let's see some special. Bullshit. Obviously, you can bet on if it's heads or tails.
Tails.
You can bet on the coin flip.
You can always bet on the coin flip. It's going to be heads. You know why? Because Raider Day said so.
Will a team come back from a double-digit deficit?
Yeah, I can see it. It would be
good. Yeah.
Because they're battle tested. Remember what I said? This is a mentally tough football team. They're not what we've been accustomed to seeing. I'm talking the explosive plays down the field because they don't have the receivers to truly create to get downfield. So it's a lot of dinking and dumping, a lot of quick passes. The intermediate passing game has been the Chiefs' best friend this year.
Fuck the Chiefs. And the fuck flags. Very nice.
And you know who's probably going to be at the game too?
Taylor Swift. Duh.
No, Bailey's going to be at the game. She's a Niner fanatic.
Battle of ass versus no ass.
Hey, Raider Dave has something to input here.
You can't. You have not. You do not have that anymore. You cannot input that anywhere.
Oh. See, now I don't know if I want to share this with you guys. Christian's always been cool, but fuck you too.
Damn.
You're about to think, goddamn. What I thought whenever I saw it.
Oh, damn, you nearly broke me on that one.
I think I did break you on that
you
one.
You did break me on that one. There's nothing wrong with Bailey's got going on back there, man. Nothing.
Oh, I've seen that one.
That is the greatest picture on the internet.
Bailey in shorts.
Bailey
not
in
a damn thing wrong with that.
Bailey in Alexis gear. And you know what I have to say about that?
I salute that.
Did his voice get deeper? Raider Dave's voice got deeper? Did it hit puberty?
Oh, you're a fucking dickhead.
There's nothing to drop, so what there's nothing to drop.
Well, he
still has balls. I do not. I have fake balls. They were donated by the VA.
He's got dog balls. He's got nudicles. He's got fake dog balls.
All right, Christian, here's one for you. Over under 80 and a half yards, the longest touchdown drive in the game.
I'm going to take the under because both these teams are really good defensively. I think this game is going to come down to which team hit a crucial defensive stop in the clutch moments of a football game.
Okay. So here's one for you. Yards of the longest QB rush, over under 16 and a half yards.
I'm going to take the over. And
yep. So am I, and that's plus money, too.
I'm going to favor that to Patrick Mahomes because when you try to rush him and you over-pursue him, he has green pastures to work with. I'm definitely going to take the over. But I will say this, though. Brock Purdy is a little more athletic than I think people really give him credit for. He can extend plays. He can move the pocket. He can make a throw on the run. And he can make it happen with his feet if the play breaks down.
So do you, so they have Kelce over under his receiving yards or receiving and rush yards at 130. Seems like that's too much, doesn't it?
That does seem a little bit high, my man.
Wait, say it again?
130 is McCaffrey's rushing and receiving yards.
Nah, that, I think that's perfect because he can impact the game as a receiver and he can impact the game as a rusher. And the Chiefs struggle to stop the run, so I wouldn't be surprised if he had more rushing yards than he did receiving yards.
I could see that. Pacheco is over 86 in that way, and I think that is where – I think that's the best bet out of the whole thing.
Well, I think one key for the Chiefs in this game, they got to run the football up the middle because that's where San Fran struggles. They're not going to be able to bounce the ball outside because they have two very rangy linebackers that can pursue – the run. You have Drake Greenlaw, and you have Fred Warner, and I think Fred Warner is the best middle linebacker.
All right, Christian, I got a question for you. This is good. This will test your mental stuff. Out of what, you know, stars aside,
mm-hmm.
is there one player from either team could be a surprising MVP that nobody's heard about or really paid attention to this year for either team?
I got
yeah.
one.
For San Francisco, I'm going to say Brandon Ayuk. And the reason why I say him is because he's their best pure wide receiver. Debo Samuel is a wide receiver, right? But he does so many different things, like I mentioned. He's, you know, he's able to catch screen passes, run jet sweeps, can get down the field. They line him up in the slot. So I call Debo the Joker of this San Francisco offense. And he's the guy that truly keeps a defense on their toes. But Brandon Ayuk, that this is Brock Purdy's down the field threat that he gets the ball to. And, you know, Brandon is the guy. He's a fluid route runner. He's smooth in space. And he's a big guy, John. Go look at this kid.
I'll take a look.
He can get the ball, and 9 times out of 10, he wins those 50-50 battles. I'm talking when that ball's in the air, and he can just use his height and his strength and say, look, I'm a grown man. You're little than me. I'm more man than you. I'm just going to go up and get this football. So Brandon Ayuk, I think, would be one. And for the Chiefs,
would it be weird if you could say Clyde?
That's a possibility, but I'm going to say Rashee Rice. And the reason why I say him is because he's really come on as wide receiver one. Look. A quarterback isn't going to feed a wide receiver the ball or any pass catcher the ball if they don't trust them. They have to earn that
right.
trust. And Rashee Rice, I love what he did in the wild card game against Miami, and he made a couple of big catches here and there against Buffalo and even against Baltimore. You know who else, since he said, you know, a name, you know who else I could see? And Ronnie knows exactly where I'm going with this. Marquez Valdes-Scantling.
You're naming receivers that there's someone that I think would benefit, and I don't think anyone's thinking about him.
Who?
Kyle Juszczyk.
Oh, the fullback from San Francisco?
Yeah.
Kyle Juszczyk?
Yep.
Yeah.
And his smoking hot wife.
Yeah, she is. Or if you want to go on the defensive side, Dre Greenlaw.
If you're going defense in San Francisco, what about Chase Young?
Nah, he's not playing. They're benching him.
I have him right now on. They did not take him. Vegas did not take him off of the MVP odds. He's still 200-1.
Yeah, maybe this could be a game where he wakes up. But I don't think people realize how important Dre Greenlaw is to this San Francisco defense. Is their best when it comes to stopping the run. And when he hasn't been on the field, what have teams done? They've ran the football.
Yeah.
And they kept running the ball and running the ball until they could stop it. and they just find a way to wear that 49ers defensive front down. Listen, this front seven for San Francisco is one of the best in the league. Nick Bosa, you just won Defensive Player of the Year last year. Eric Armstead, Javon Hargrave, and then Fred Warner patrolling everything in the middle. Yeah, I'm going to say Dre Greenlaw. You know, I think he could really be a tackling machine for the 49ers. And if I had to give you a defensive possibility, John,
mm-hmm.
Steve,
How about the D tackle that's clogging everything up?
Who? Chris Jones?
Yep.
But people know him. He said one that people are going to know after this game.
Yeah, like an unknown soldier type of thing that where has he been the whole season? And out of the Super Bowl, he all of a sudden he emerges as a megastar type of thing.
Yeah, for me, that guy would be Nick Bolton, number 32. Now, he... What Dre Greenlaw is to the 49ers, that's what Nick Bolton is to the Kansas City Chiefs. He's their best run stopper. He's going to be in action, and he's going to be that spy on Christian McCaffrey. So I'll say him.
And what about for the Chiefs defensively?
He plays for the Chiefs, Nick Bolton.
Oh, that's what I'm saying. Okay, yeah. I'm sorry.
Nah, you're good. All right, Ronnie, you got more?
Let's hold on 1 minute. Yeah, actually, I just got to do something real quick. Right, let me pull it back up. There we go. I also think anytime touchdowns they have right now, you wanted to know Brandon Ayuk is 2-1. Rashid Rice is 2-1. Mahomes is 4-1. Scantling's 5.5-1 to get a touchdown. So is Allaire. Kyle Juszczyk is 8.5. Noah Gray is going to be one that's going to be an eye out for because they use Noah Gray in the red zone a lot, 9-1.
And they use him a lot on third down in short yardage situations.
So here's a long shot that I really like if it's not CMC. Ray McLeod, 16-1.
What, to score a touchdown?
Yep.
Yeah, he could be used as a decoy.
Is his name Ray Ray?
Yep, Ray McLeod. Yep. and Christian Nick Bolton 50-1 to score a touchdown.
Okay.
I mean, I gotta find they have the Gatorade one, but what does everyone think about the Gatorade? What do you think?
Ain't nobody care.
What color?
Who cares?
Red.
I think it's red no matter what because the Chiefs. Are red and so is
the MVP.
fastest. That's a weird one this year. Fastest ball carrier.
Is there anything for the commercials?
No, they don't. Vegas doesn't actually touch the commercials because they don't know what commercials are coming on when. There's nothing for Usher either.
Who cares?
I do.
You like Usher?
Very much so.
I didn't know that.
But also, too, it would be funny. Hold on.
With all of this, I'm surprised they didn't have Taylor singing at the Super Bowl.
She actually refused to. You actually have to pay the NFL to be in the Super Bowl.
And that's probably she goes, honey, could you pay for this for me? Even though I got
more
money than God.
Here we go. Here's some fucked up ones.
Uh-oh.
What team apparel will Drake wear at the Super Bowl?
Yeah, fuck him. What a groovy.
Cisco is the favorite right now.
Mm-hmm.
Hold on.
Hey, nobody.
It decided to fuck with me. It's making me sign in with Google. Fuck you. Come on. Yada, yada, dead air, dead air, dead air, dead air. Here we go. All right. Actually, the Chiefs are favored. So, all right. How many times will Roger Goodell be shown?
I say at least four.
Far too fucking many.
Yeah, over under 1.5. Okay, I don't know what the fuck this is. What the fuck is a scorigami?
Sounds like a
bad venereal disease.
Or something.
It's coined by a Super Bowl nation NFL. End of the game where the original score that hasn't been... Okay, so it's something that hasn't happened in a Super Bowl yet. Like 48-3. Like, will there be a... Will there be something that's never happened? I doubt it. Will a player be ejected for throwing a punch?
Nah.
No.
Will any player propose to their girlfriend on the field after the game, Taylor Swift?
No.
Hey, Christian, will the power go out at the Super Bowl?
I hope not.
That would be funny as fuck.
Well, those are not odd ones. Those are not odd. Will someone lose their top during the halftime show? Like that type of weird shit.
Will there be a streaker?
Will there be live sex celebrations in the stands?
This is in Oakland.
I don't care where you are. Christian will back me up on this. Usher plays confession. Yes.
Man, Ryan, you just spoke a word, brother.
That's what I mean. Like that should be like, oh yeah, well.
You know what? You know what? Nah. Look.
Oh God.
And right there about 8 babies were made.
Ten and a half.
What's the half? What is a midget? What is a dwarf born?
Nah, that's just a nigga not claiming the baby.
What is this, twins with Arnold Schwarzenegger, Danny DeVito?
Oh, fuck, we need more. This one.
Did I just break Ronnie?
Yes, because I was not expecting that. Yeah. Listen. Just because Noah's around, we don't need to keep saying it. Oh, God. It's gonna be fun.
It's just crazy how quickly both seasons have come and gone. I mean, you know, we already decided a champion at the college level for Michigan. Now we're gonna see who wraps it up this year for the NFL.
Not anyone listening to Usher.
Yeah, you be respectful.
Tell me I'm wrong.
How much you guys want to bet he opens with yeah?
No, because Ludacris has already been announced that he's going to be there. So they will play yeah.
And they'll probably play Lovers and Friends, too.
Yeah.
He's going to.
I think so.
Nah, I say he opens with Caught Up.
Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah.
He opens.
And if it happens, Ronnie. I want $50 Cash App. Nah.
and I don't know any of these songs you're speaking of because I never listened to the man. So
yeah, it's just crazy that after Sunday football is done.
Unless you want to go watch the shitty UFL.
Nah, I'm good on that.
All I know is the second the game's over, baseball is back.
Oh, wait, what? Huh? What
the fuck was that?
Either that was Vince McMahon or...
Hey, Vince, go back to your little cubbyhole.
That is good shit.
That's some good shit right there, damn it.
All right, you know what? I'm fucking...
Oh, God.
Listen.
The last time
I was on my island... Wait, Vince, we don't need to know about your island.
Look, I'm sending you what made me make that noise.
Uh-oh, I'm afraid of this.
This is fucking dope. It's a link, just so you know.
All right, let me see this. Goddamn conversation.
Oh, I can't log into Facebook right this second, so. Oh, speaking of which, Ryan, did you get that video I sent you? How many of those did they get right?
I don't
Damn.
Know.
Ooh.
What is it? Just tell me what it is so I at least know what you're talking about.
Someone getting the shit kicked out of them.
It's eagle tits.
Eagle tits? Okay, then.
It's eagle eye. Get the shit
oh.
by Nick Natural.
Oh, okay. I'll check that out later.
I edited that video and then I see an advertisement for Hims.
That's because after that beating, Eagle Eye needs Hims to get it up.
Ouch.
Oh, God.
Well, then.
Nick Natural kicked him so hard, he broke the eagle dick.
Oh, damn.
All right. Well, on that note.
Yeah, I got nothing to follow that.
Yeah, I got nothing now.
Ryan, you got anything?
Yeah. Actually, something that was confirmed today, something that we all knew about, but has been legally.
I know where we're going with this.
What is it?
John Laurinaitis is squealing.
You broke up. I didn't hear what you said. I just heard John Laurinaitis. What was
John
it?
John Laurinaitis is squealing.
Oh, in other words, he's coughing it all up, huh?
He has gone on record in an affidavit to his attorney stating that WWE did indeed know about Ashley Massaro's sexual assault over in Iraq and actively covered it up.
And Christian, just so you know, the girl he's speaking of, she committed suicide not too long after that.
Yikes.
2019, yeah. It was a while after that.
But yeah, but she still committed suicide. And a lot of people think it's because of that she did it.
I'm sure they did have something to do with it, unfortunately.
And she left a little girl behind, too, which is really sad.
Yeah, that's tough.
That's
and,
tough.
And they refused to do anything about it, like pay anything up.
Went before us, you know.
Grand jury?
You know, like the four attorneys today gave a statement, and they asked about Ashley Massaro, and yeah. WWE 100% what happened, actively covered it up. Vince saying something that personally makes me think he's like a scumbag.
Yeah. Christian, well, how much of this do you know?
I don't know a lot about it.
Ashley Massaro was the WWE diva during one of the Tribute to the Troops tours where they would have superstars volunteer to go over to Iraq and perform in a military base over the holidays. Ashley Massaro was drugged and raped by U.S. service.
Mm-hmm.
And WWE Vince McMahon covered it up, telling her, quote, this is a direct quote, don't let one bad instance ruin all the great work we're doing.
So it's almost like Ryan, he knew about it and didn't put an end to anything.
Exactly.
That's just as bad as committing the crime.
Yeah.
Christian, I'm going to send you a picture in the Skype chat of what Ashley looked like so you know who we're talking about.
Shit. I don't give a shit if it was a U.S. service member or not. That shit happens in service much too often.
Mm-hmm.
So.
That was her.
Yeah, she was a beautiful woman.
She was. She was a sweetheart, too. I met her a bunch of times.
Let me see.
I sent in the Skype chat.
Skype. Not that one. Jesus Christ.
Unfortunately, I have to make a new one every time we fucking get blog talk.
All right, I'm not seeing it.
So this makes me wonder what else Mr. Laurinaitis is going to spill.
Christian, I'll send it to you. Hold on.
All right.
What else is he going to spill? They haven't even gone to court. They haven't even started.
Yeah, I know. It's just, that's just disgusting. So I did not hear about the laryngitis thing today. That's new news to me.
Yes.
He's squealing like a pig, huh?
Oh no, Christian, it's in the group chat that Ryan was sent it in.
Not that one.
I'll just repost it.
Not that one. God, what the
I just reposted it.
Let me see. Alright, it's loading up for me.
Yeah.
Oh, she's cute. She was cute.
She was a great worker too.
Damn. Oh yeah, she got a body on her. Wow.
Yeah.
How old was she?
She was only 39 years old.
That's young.
Yeah, very much so.
And she had a 9-year-old daughter.
Wow.
And I remember the day she passed, or a couple of weeks at Ryan, you might remember this. All the WWE divas, they sent a video to her daughter.
Yeah.
Saying, Your mom might be gone, but we're all still here for you. We'll always have your back.
Mm-hmm.
You know, yeah. It's like,
honestly, you know that's the problem. These are people that are on the road and away from their own family.
Right. No, but Christian, I just didn't know how much you were aware of the situation with going on with Vince and what he's being accused of now.
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, it's pretty.
Oh, with these guys.
No, Christian. This is just the stuff he's accused of is really fucking disturbing.
How disturbing?
We need to do a whole another show.
Just a quick rundown.
Yeah, say Ryan, give him the quick rundown.
They're trying to get him with probably sexual assault and sex trafficking.
Oh, wow. Like on a minor?
No.
No, but there is possible state lines that were crossed. That's why I'm saying it might be.
So, basically, they're trying to get him, Janelle Grant is saying that she was relentlessly abused and assaulted by McMahon from 2019 to 2022, and sex trafficked by being passed around to other members, high-ranking members. And high ranking. It's officially a federal.
Guy said, I'm going to send you a picture of the woman that we're talking about because her picture. She's been. Everybody knows what she looks like, but I'll send it to you so you can see what she's. Who we're talking about?
Mm-hmm.
I sent it in the Skype chat. It's in the Skype chat. So.
And she worked in the. What was it?
Yeah, right now.
Legal.
Yeah, she worked.
She was a legal secretary or something.
So what, is he like being accused of rape or?
Pretty much. You suck my dick, I get you raped.
Pretty much.
And now, he pretty much passed. And he also passed her around too.
Now there's also backlash coming to superstars that have been linked to this case. WWE is currently in the process of scrubbing Brock Lesnar.
Yeah, that I heard about.
Been removed from everything.
He's been Bob Hollied.
I mean, not quite, dude.
Not yet, but it's getting close.
Like, Bob Holly, they just moved on from. They don't bring him up. Out of sight, out of mind.
Right.
And, by the way, for anyone that does not get the joke, we don't mean the actual wrestler Bob Holly.
Right.
The joke of it is that in a WWE Raw SmackDown game, I think it's like the one like right after Benoit fucking died, they edited over there was a edit that was a glitch that called Chris Benoit Bob Holly. Hence why I've always said for fucking almost 15 years that if someone's been etch-a-sketched out, they have officially been Bob Holly.
No, this is going to be worse.
Yeah.
This is going to be along the lines of Ben.
They're going to be just gets out of existence. They're going to be Thanos.
This is a legacy killer.
Yeah, and I mean, and some of the other stuff that he's been accused of, or the allegations. I told Ryan about one of the allegations last week. Ryan nearly pissed himself when I told him about it. Should I tell him that one, or should I keep that one to him for us?
We'll keep that one to another show.
I'll tell him that off air.
Well, right. We'll come back, because once we start figuring this out, we need to do another show on this.
Yeah, once we get a little more information, especially federal.
Yeah. Wow. By the way, hashtag bring back Scott D'Amore.
I still can't believe they fired him today.
No That's reason. Crazy. Just fired him, so fuck him. Not fuck TNA, but fuck Anthem.
He's coming to he'll come to the E. Watch. Triple H will hire him.
Oh, yeah. That's pretty much it. Yeah.
But I got nothing else. Does anybody else have anything else?
Nope.
I've not.
Bri, you got anything more? What?
So the Cardinals are going to win the division.
Yeah, not happening.
Happening.
It's the Reds. We'll get to that in a couple weeks when we actually bring up what's it called? When we actually bring up baseball. But with that being said, listen, asshole, I told you. Don't fuck with me, Ryan. I'll make sure I come after Raider Dave.
The fuck happened there?
You don't want me.
Fucker, I'm going to come after you. Hulk Hogan, I'm coming for you.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Hey, I dare you, Mouse.
You don't know what I am. Bob Iger's going
to
come and shoot you in your throat.
Listen to me,
do you have any idea what they're talking about?
Listen to me, William. Listen to me, William.
I am not a dick.
You are a dick. You do not want to feel the entire power of the Raider Nation.
Entire Raider Nation? Bitch, I'm the fucking Mouse.
I will end you, Willie.
Steamboat Willie will wreck your ass and then throw you over the side of the speedboat and just fucking watch you bleed.
Steamboat Willie drives a speedboat?
Yep.
What the fuck? Where the fuck is Vinny when I need him? He's been stalking me for months, and now he's just gone.
No one can help you now.
You know what? Come get me, Mouse. Come get me.
Oh, I'm going to be coming down to Disney anyway, because WWE tomorrow is doing a press conference.
Hey, you guys want to see a video of me fucking a mouse to death?
What do you try?
Oh, Raider Dave.
All right, well, I'm going to get on a plane to go fuck up Raider Dave.
Yeah, I bet you are.
Fuck out of here. Go kick his ass. Go. No, Willie. I don't need you around anymore. You're as bad as Joanna. Get the fuck out of here.
If Joanna couldn't stop Raider Dave, then no fucking Mouse is going to stop Raider Dave.
Well, she's not here right now, so we're not going to ask her. But with that being said... Fucking kick your ass. Get the fuck out of here, Willie. That being said, if you like what you heard, please follow us on all social media accounts under the Nerdport Network. Follow us individually on Twitter, at Athanarani.
I don't know what the fuck I just heard. I'm the zombie master, but I don't know what I just heard.
Look, man, y'all lost.
Christian, you and I are in the same boat, man.
You lost. He lost me, John.
I'm just sitting here doing a double face palm. I have no idea what just happened.
Me neither.
Call out your Twitter, damn it. Get out of here.
At DailyBlitz_61.
There you go. Ryan.
At StuttcockSTL.
Oh, where's the bitch at? Because I need his fucking Twitter.
I swear to God, I'm going to fucking kill him. At Raider Dave. _NPN. I got my own Twitter, you fucking rogue bitch.
I have my own company. Just watch out for the mouse traps.
That was fucking low. That was low.
But with that being said, ladies and gentlemen, if you like what you heard, tell your friends. If you didn't like what you hear,
kill the mouse!
Tell your enemies, but until then, always tell people three things. One, Bobby Bonilla is getting paid. Two, Shohei Ohtani will soon be getting paid. And three, there is always a teachable moment. And if you don't believe me, well, then hell, that's just a fact of life. Yeah.
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 Kick the